Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Jim Hahn, and I'm the new RUF Campus Minister Associate at the University of North Carolina. And it's my absolute pleasure to get to preach before you today, because you are a church that has supported and been behind RUF for many years. And so as someone who's stepping into the role, I want to say your prayers and your giving has been an amazing encouragement. So thank you for inviting me in this morning, and I can't wait to worship the Lord with you. And in honor of that tonight, today, I really want to glorify the character of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God who gave up his life, not only so that we could be forgiven and loved deeply, but we could be known, we could be provided for. And so in light of that, I want to invite you to come to the Gospel of John with me. We're going to open up to John chapter 6 and read verses 1 through 15. And as I read through this text, I want you to consider with me, how can Jesus provide for you this morning? What are those areas in your life you want to invite him into so he can nourish you? So if you would, stand with me as we come before the word of the Lord this morning. Again, we're in John chapter 6, reading verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they are about to take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Father, I'm so grateful to be here this morning, and I'm so excited to see your word nourish us. So I pray that you prepare our hearts to hear your truth. Holy Spirit, speak through me now. Help me to honor the Son. Jesus, let me glorify you and how I show your love today. In your name, amen. Well, in this passage, we see Jesus make a small snack into a buffet of food. He made what was a small appetizer into a feast for a crowd of people who needed it the most. No doubt, if you've grown up in the church, you've probably heard about this miracle before. And you're probably quick to say, wow, this miracle really shows the power of Jesus's divinity, that he was the Son of God, that he was fully God and fully man. And that's certainly true. But this morning, I want to also show you what else this miracle shows about Jesus's identity. That, friends, he's a loving provider. He is your good shepherd who pursues you and wants to feed you this morning. And so, in light of this, I want to invite you with me to look at 3 aspects of Jesus' identity as your provider. Aspects that I think we can draw directly from this text. So the first one is that Jesus, as your provider, listens to your needs. Secondly, as your provider, he meets you in your hunger. And then thirdly, as your provider, he provides abundantly for you. So let's begin with that first truth, that Jesus listens to our needs. Right from the get-go, we see Jesus around people who desperately need him. Right in verse 1, we're told that this great crowd had been following after Jesus across the country. They even go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And we're not told how long it took them to get there, but it seems like John is suggesting they've been traveling for days. They left behind their friends, their family, their jobs to be there. And verse 2 tells us the reason why they're doing this. They'd seen Jesus heal the sick. They've seen Jesus restore people from physical pain and death to life. And so, no doubt, these people were chasing after Jesus because they wanted that help. They wanted to be restored. They wanted to be healed. In a time when medicine wasn't readily available or even present, Jesus was their only hope to be healed. They lived in a world where people rejected them and labeled them as a lost cause. But Jesus gave them a chance. And so in every single way, this crowd of people would have been the most needy bunch possible. So how does Jesus embrace them? Well, in verse 3, we're told that Jesus is on the mountainside and he's sitting with his disciples. We're told that he's resting in this moment, which I think is a beautiful reminder that Jesus, yes, he's fully divine, he's fully the Son of God, but he was also fully man. And so when he was on earth, he would get physically exhausted. And so he needed time to rest. And so if anyone deserved it, it would have been him, right? But what happens in verse 5? This large crowd of people who are looking for him finally come. And Jesus, as he was resting, could have refused their advances. He could have said, "I'm too tired right now. I need a rest time before I deal with your need." I'll be honest. In my own limitedness, in my own brokenness as a person, after a long week of work, I would not have been as open. I would not have been as welcoming. I would have been tempted to be frustrated by people's neediness. But you see, Jesus sees them in their need, and he loves them. In fact, if you look at the Gospel of Matthew's account, it said he looked at them, had compassion on them, because they were sheep without a shepherd. Even in Jesus' physical exhaustion, he not only cared for the needy, he loved them. He saw them as people worthy of pursuing and caring for. They were not a nuisance to him. They were sheep he deeply cared about. I know for us, it might be hard in our modern day culture to grasp the depth of Jesus' title as our shepherd. But in his time period, it was really clear to everyone what he was implying. In their culture, a shepherd would seek and protect his flock. He would give them food, water, shelter. It was the shepherd's duty to check on them, to make sure no one was malnourished or injured. And so most of them would know each sheep by name. He would have intimate knowledge of their weaknesses, of their character. And when the sheep would constantly wander away, it was on him to bring them back, to bring them to safety. Friends, in every way, the shepherd would nourish his sheep. He would help lead them out of their own mistakes to safety. And I want you to know Jesus, as your good shepherd, provides you that nourishment. He provides you that protection. He does not leave you to your own devices. No, he's a loving Savior who wants to restore you this morning. I know as humans, it feels like we have a constant list of needs, right, and desires. And maybe you've been told before that your needs are too much. Maybe people have told you your baggage, the hurt and the pain that you carry, it's too much for people, so don't overburden me. And maybe, sadly, you've brought that same mindset to your prayer life. Maybe you told yourself, does Jesus really want to hear what I'm going through? Does he really want to make time for me? Does he actually see my needs and care about it? Or on the flip side, maybe you've been praying for something for so long that you're starting to wonder, is my repeating requests starting to frustrate Jesus? Am I dishonoring him for continuing to ask for this? Am I shaming him for what he hasn't done for me yet? Friends, those are lies. God cares about you as an individual. He wants to meet you in your need. Friends, I want you to see from this passage that you are not a burden to God. You are not a chore that he just deals with. You're not a stranger that he tolerates. You are his child if you believe in him. And so, friends, when you come to prayer, know he delights in hearing from you. He sees you like this hungry crowd, and he has compassion for you. In fact, when we read scripture, it's clear that God is always inviting us in to be his people. If you read Psalm 145, it tells us that the Lord is near to all who call upon him. And in 1 Peter 5, we're told to cast our anxieties on God because he cares for you. And so, friends, even though we in our limited, broken state might get frustrated when people ask us for help, God is always present. He's always willing to listen. Jesus never grows tired of hearing your need. He is a shepherd who is there for you, a Lord who lays down his life for you, a king who desires you because you are made in his image. So in response, let's be a church that commits ourselves to prayer. Let's not be afraid to tell Jesus exactly what we need. Let's not let our own shame, our own insecurity, our own sin keep us from calling upon him. The enemy would love to try to shame you this morning. The enemy would love to tell you that you're a lost cause. The enemy would love to tell you that your mistakes disqualify you from Jesus' love this morning. But friends, the reality is because of the cross, you are invited in this morning despite your past. You are invited in this morning despite your weaknesses. Despite the mistakes you have made, Jesus says, I have made a way for you to be forgiven. Come to me. Bring what you need. I will listen. I will provide for you. Friends, we need to live in repentance. We need to turn from sin. But know there are new mercies for you every morning in that. So come with open arms and an open heart. On the flip side, though, we need to be careful that we never think we're too strong or too righteous not to need Jesus. Sometimes it's easy to fall into this trap of believing, oh, you know, the longer I've followed Jesus or the longer I've lived my faith, the more independent I should feel. Or I'll get to a place where I feel like I don't need the cross as much as I used to. But take it as a young 28-year-old, I'm already beginning to realize that the more I go in my faith, the more I realize just how broken I can be and how desperately I need Jesus' grace every day. That's what growing in faith is, realizing my limit and raising it to my Father. So friends, regardless of where you are in your faith today, know he wants to hear you and be with you. Thankfully for us, though, Jesus is not just a good listener. He's actually the Son of God who can do something with our need. He can deliver us from it. So let's come back to our passage now and look at our second point for today, that Jesus meets us in our hunger. In verse 5, we're told that Jesus quickly goes to meet the crowd, to provide for them in their need. But notice also how he meets his disciples in their need. Philip, one of the disciples, is asked by Jesus directly, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Now, you guys can probably imagine that the reaction to this question would be varied. Philip would probably be really taken aback that Jesus would ask him to solve this problem. I told my students when I spoke on this passage last semester, this would be like if your chemistry or physics professor came up to you right before class and said, "How are we going to teach quantum physics to everyone this semester?" Or if they're at the football game and the new head coach, Bill Belichick, walks up to them and says, "How are we going to win this game today with a second string quarterback?" Or for your context, it's like if your head pastor, Simon, came up to you right before nursery and said, "What are you going to preach on this morning?" When you're not even two coffee cups into your day, I imagine most of us would be taken aback or surprised by a question like that. I had a similar experience when I was in high school. I was on a track team, and my track coach planned really poorly for our team dinner. And because of that, he came to me as a shy sophomore and asked me, "How are we going to feed everybody?" He even suggested I should help him grill burgers. And guys, at that point, I could barely make cereal without burning the bowl. And so, due to my coach's poor planning, We had to get Taco Bell catered. We had to eat stale chips instead of a meal that actually nourished us or made us feel loved. But friends, Jesus did not neglect his responsibility. He did not plan poorly here. He was not trying to shift all the blame and attention on Philip. Instead, in verse 6, we're told he said this to test him, because Jesus knew himself what he would do. You see, Jesus in this moment was really seeing where Philip would put his faith. How would he respond in a time of need? Would he seek out Jesus' help, or would the weight of this situation move him to despair? Would it make him apathetic? And sadly, I believe Philip moves to despair. Notice what he says to Jesus in almost a dejected way. He says, not even 200 denarii worth of bread would be enough for each of them to get a little. Now, a lot of commentaries said that 200 denarii was equivalent to 7 month wages in their day, or around $13,000 in our time. And for Philip, this great cost wasn't even enough for everyone to get any real food, just small crumbs. In other words, they'd have to drop 13K for everyone to have nursery bags of goldfish. That would not feed anyone, right? And so Philip, in every way, thought there was no fixing this situation. And I know it's really easy for me to get up here and give Philip a hard time. I know it's really easy for me to look down on him because he was a disciple. He saw Jesus do incredible things. But friends, how often do we allow our circumstances to blind us from our greatest need? How often do I allow the stresses of my work, my family, the expectations of others lead me away from my Savior? It's so easy to fixate our minds on our immediate goal that we let our prayer life suffer. Or our willingness to trust in God's provision, we so easily trade that for the lie that says, I can do this on my own. I can be independent. But friends, when you live in independence instead of dependence on your Savior, you'll find yourself in a relentless cycle of anxiety and disappointment. It's exactly in those moments where you feel helpless that you're meant to lean on Jesus the most. When you feel like your schedule is pushing you to the max, lift your worries to Christ. Allow him to remind you that he loves you, that he desires you. Allow him to remind you that your worth is not found in how amazing of a parent you are, and how amazing you are at your job, or being a student, or being liked. No, your worth, if you believe in Jesus, is being a child of God. It's not what you accomplish or secure on this earth. It's found in the Savior's love for you. It's found in the cross. So friends, come to Jesus this morning and allow him even to use your weaknesses for his good. I believe that's exactly what he does with the disciple Andrew. Look at verse 9 with me. The disciple Andrew comes to Jesus and he says, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? You see, Andrew is a lot like me. He tries to think about the issue practically. He makes his best effort to go into the crowd and to find any food to try to somehow fix the situation. But what does he accomplish? He finds a child with the equivalent of a McDonald's Happy Meal. And so I believe he kind of feels like he failed here. He even says, what is this small provision for so many? In some ways, he's kind of saying, what good was I in accomplishing this task? How can my feeble attempts ever be enough for this great need? He felt limited in this moment, and so he needed to lean upon Jesus to be strong in his weakness. Friends, again, when you are confronted with your limitations, come to your provider. Scripture is clear that God can even use our most feeble attempts to further his kingdom. Trust the work that he is doing in you and through you is important, and he can impact those around you even when you feel like you're not enough. So on those mornings when you feel like you failed to show Jesus to your children, or you failed to show the gospel to your coworkers, or you feel like your conversation runs dry with someone who doesn't know Christ, Know that Jesus is still working. Know the Holy Spirit is in you and can work on those around you. Know even in your failures, God is still sovereign. He is still present. Know that even when we are weak, he is strong. That is why in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us that grace is sufficient for you, for his power is made perfect in weakness. And that's why Paul goes on to say, when I am weak, then I am strong. Jesus is strong when you are weak, friends. If you feel like you are not enough to change your community or bring someone to salvation on your own, I want to tell you that you're not able on your own, but you are able with the Spirit that lives in you. God can work in you and through you to do great things, even when you feel like you're not enough. So know that Jesus listens. Know that he meets you in your need. But thirdly, know that his provision is more than we can ask or even imagine. Which leads me to my third point, that Jesus provides abundantly for us. Notice the outcome of this miracle. Again, Jesus takes this small plate of fish and loaves, and he makes it into a feast that satisfies everybody. In fact, verse 12 tells us that everyone was able to eat their fill and have as much as they wanted. That means a crowd of 5,000 grown men who were tired and hungry after traveling for days, they were able to eat a full meal that satisfied them. And guys, that doesn't take into account any women or children who would have been with them. The text just simply says 5,000 men. But if they had their wives or their children with them, this number could have been double or triple the original amount. Yet, Jesus provides for all of them. They're all satisfied. What's truly amazing is that the provision doesn't stop there, does it? In verse 13, he tells the disciples to go into the crowd and to fill up large baskets of any food left over. And we're told they're able to fill 12 large baskets, one for each disciple. That's a clear message that Jesus was saying, I'm going to provide for you. Philip and Andrew would see in that moment that even though they felt exposed, they felt limited, Jesus would step in for them. When they were not enough, when they had no hope in themselves, Jesus was enough. Jesus' surprising way of providing this food for his disciples makes me think of how my mom would give me and my siblings always more food than we asked or wanted. She especially made a bunch of homemade chocolate chip cookies growing up. And I know everyone says this, but my mom's recipe is the best. So if you want to fight about this, meet me outside after this, but we can talk more. But I remember a time when I was traveling from California back to Georgia, and my mom had hid this huge amount of chocolate chip cookies in the glove compartment. And I remember being so surprised because my mom took extra care to know we were thought about, we were provided for. Even though she always gave me so much food, this was a beautiful reminder that she always wanted to be there and care for us. In an even greater, more beautiful way, I think Jesus was showing the disciples that he was going to care about them no matter what. Even when they doubted him, he would show up. Even when they questioned the extent of his power or didn't immediately go to him in their need, he would still show up. I believe Jesus is using this miracle to simply say to them, and to us this morning, that I know what you need. I hear that you're exhausted. I know that the tasks before you are overwhelming you. So know that I'm with you. Know that I'm providing for you. Rest in what I can do through you. Even when you're not enough, I always am enough. I think one of the most beautiful things about this whole passage is that Jesus' provision is not dependent on our worthiness of it. His provision is not dependent on the level and depth of your faith. No, Jesus' provision is motivated by the fact that he's a loving Savior. That, friends, he is defined by his love for you, and he will meet you and deliver you because that's who he is. So friends, whatever great obstacles stand before you this week, don't try to do it alone. Don't let worry and your own sin keep you from Jesus. Invite him into your life. See what great things he can do. See how his love will nourish and satisfy you. In closing, I want you to know that Jesus, as your good shepherd, will provide for you. I want you to know that he will listen to you. And I want you to know that he'll satisfy your heart. So let's go to that great provider now in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you made us in your image. We're so grateful that you know what we need even better than ourselves. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray today that we would depend on your sovereign hand. We would trust that you have a plan for us and you will lead us to hope. Jesus, as the Son, we thank you for laying down your life so that we could be with you, that we can be in communion with you this morning. I pray that your love would satisfy us. We would believe the cross and run to you. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are present in us. I pray now that you meet us in worship and let us find rest in your love. Remind us of your truth and root us in it. In Jesus' name, amen.